Rarely has mankind hesitated to eradicate the creatures that stand in the path of his conquest. If we find ritual extirpation, undesirable
things, odors from another world.
The rest must be destroyed.
Is it possible that our dark past?
Watch them and pray.
Goo readings, ladies, gentlemen, government agents, girls that send love letters to serial killers while they're in prison, and anyone who might be listening. This is Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind. I'm your host, Tasker, and we have Nick.
Yeah, Nick here. Okay, I gotta up front address that little thing you said at the beginning. Girls that send love letters to serial killers when they're in prison.
Weird. Very weird.
It's very strange. I don't understand the mentality. Now, here's what also makes it more sad for me is girls don't even send me love letters and I've never killed anybody. Yet all these fucking assholes in prison are getting pen pals and with panties in them.
Yeah. See, I don't think killing somebody is a prerequisite to get a love letter. I mean, what about like, you know, Justin Bieber? I mean, he hasn't killed anybody, right?
Look, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but I don't know.
So anybody who's famous at all, who's gotten a love letter, has probably maybe murdered somebody. Maybe that's, you think maybe this is a, not like a curse, but like a, maybe that's a spell of like, you know, cause like they say, it's like, you know, it's equivalent exchange and shit. Like, you know, you got to give something to get it. So what if the, in order for the love spell, you need to, you know, take a human life.
That would be unfortunate because contrary to what our listeners might believe with me, I don't have it in me to just go out and start killing people for some poon. You know what I mean? Like I can't do that.
You heard it here, folks. The coochie just ain't worth it for some things.
It ain't worth it, guys. Stop putting it on the pedestal. Be nice to the ladies because they deserve to be treated nicely, but don't put the coochie on a pedestal and don't kill people for coochie.
It's not worth the 20 to life you'll be getting for it. Or most places, it's just life in prison for murder, right?
Most civilized places. Yeah. I think that most Western, yes, I would hope so. But like when you start going to like other countries that maybe, you know, kind of turn a blind eye to that kind of stuff, you might get a little slap on the wrist depending on who you kill, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there was this one case where it was like this woman, she bludgeoned to death a pedophile, which like, you know, go her. And on the way out from the courtroom, you know, she's in like her handcuffs and they're just like, so like you said in court that you regret what you've done, this and that. Was that true? She's like, nope. My lawyer told me to say that to lower my charges. I don't regret it. I'm glad he's dead. Like all this is worth it. Knowing that guy's buried. I'm like, okay, see, there's a situation where like, you know, that might be okay. But like, you know,
because some would consider that to be true justice. Some would consider that to be like street justice. Like, that's a pedophile. That's somebody who takes advantage of kids who cannot defend themselves.
Yeah.
And they died. And I'm like, if I was okay, now this is what I can say this confidently because I'll never be in like a police department. I'll never be in a position of power like that. But if I was me, I would be like, I'd see something like that and I'd just start whistling and kind of walk away, you know, like I didn't, what? Oh, he got hit by a car or something. I don't know.
Look at this dead guy. How did that happen?
No. Oh, well.
Oh, man. Well, it's like, you know, there was that one, the dude who found out his son's karate instructor was, you know, molesting him behind the scenes. So during the trial, he found out which airport he was being dropped off at and shot him in the head and killed him. And the dad had very minimal charges because everyone's like, dude, you don't blame me. You kind of don't blame you.
Yeah. And also, like, it's not his fault he had to use a gun, right? It was a fucking karate instructor. So, like, you're going to shoot him. You're not going to get in a fist fight with the guy because he's a fucking black belt.
Right.
So you got to shoot him.
Yeah. And he got off with, like, crime of passion where if you can reasonably, like, you know, if it's reasonable in the situation that what you did, like, you just weren't really thinking properly, which is case, like, you know, if you walked in on, like, you know, somebody, like, sleeping with your significant other and you just flipped out and, like, murdered them. Like, yeah, you'll still do prison time, but like you're not going to go to like jail for like life, you know?
Yeah, because the judge and the jury will both be listening to the case and being like, yeah, I'd probably do something similar.
Yeah, I mean, I caught him in my bed, in my house. Like, yeah, no, what was I supposed to do? So anyways, great start today. Let's go to horoscopes because we got some blood and gore today.
Oh my gosh, guys, it's going to be fucking crazy. But I do want to announce, guys, because it is our first official episode in October, we are now doing our horoscopes.
Yep, we are back to horoscopes. It's the best horoscopes of the season.
That's right, man. So I'll go first. Super excited. Let's see what the stars have in store for me today. Passion is on your mind today. You'll want to get together with a romantic partner. Don't be surprised if the evening turns into a long, involved, and very intimate conversation, revealing secrets that you thought you'd never repeat to anybody. I like the smell of asparagus, Pete. That's been on my mind so much. Dude, I've been eating so much asparagus. And, dude,
it makes a significant change.
And I love it. And I know it's weird. And I know that some people out there are going to think I'm a freak, but this is not Nick in character. This is me, a human that says I heart asparagus pee.
Yeah. It's pungent, you know, it's a refined scent. Huh?
It's a reminder that I'm eating well.
That's good to know.
Okay. You could learn some rather surprising things as well, though. Nothing that changes your feelings.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're talking about like murdering and stuff like that. And now your horoscopes are like, oh, secrets you can't tell anyone. Very intimate. Sounds like the horoscope's pushing you to do the murder love potion.
I can't, dude. Look, I know the stars are even cheering for me. They're like, come on, man, you could do it. Pick up that butcher knife. But I'm like, hey, man, look, the day I start taking advice from the stars is the day you can lock me up in a psych ward. All right. Because that's just inappropriate.
Well, yeah. Also, what the fuck do stars know, man? They're just like inanimate glowing rocks.
Yeah, they don't know what murder is. They can't understand the concept of it. Guess what? They don't have brains. That's a big problem.
Precisely. And by the way, correction: they're not rocks. They're giant flaming balls of fusion.
You could have fooled me, dude. I know nothing about fucking astronomy. The only thing I know is that there are aliens out there, but I don't know what stars are made of. I don't know what planets are made of, and I don't care because it's all fake anyway.
I love how you look at the infinite expanse of space, shove it to the side, just finger in the face, aliens. That's all aliens. I care about.
Those stars are just a bunch of lights, holes in the sky. That's all they are.
Right? It's just, you know, it was too dark and a giant decided to poke some holes, and that's why we have stars, right?
Dude, that would be a really good mythology. You should create your own fucking race of people and create your own mythology because that would be perfect. That sounds like some Norse shit.
I'm pretty sure I got that from a children's book.
Oh.
Yeah, that was already
written. Well, what does that say about me? Does that say that I'm just like, I'm just so like, I could be so entranced by something that only children can wrap their minds around?
To be fair, it's a pretty creative idea, so I wouldn't sell yourself too short on that.
Okay, that's good. So again, Scorpio is in the friendship category. It seems to happen a lot, which is cool.
Yep, Cancer is in the love category.
Damn, dude, what is going on with us, man?
One day I'll make it. I'll get in, boys. Don't worry.
Give me a heads up so I can trim down there, though. But, okay, my stars. Let's see what my stars are looking like here. Sex is a 3 out of 5. Vibe is a 3 out of 5. Hustle is only a 2 out of 5. And my success is a 3 out of 5. So pretty damn average across the board.
Nice. Average is not bad.
It's better than below average, my penis size.
Hey, not bad. But for me, horoscope, a long-awaited letter or call might come in handy or might come today from a friend who lives in another state or a foreign country. I mean, we're talking right now, so somewhat. This could open the lines of communication to a degree they haven't reached for a long time. You and your friend have grown considerably since you were last close, or it's almost like a whole new friendship. Enjoy getting to know each other again. Okay, so it implies it's somebody that I'm not in touch with is going to reach out.
I wonder who that could be. Who do you think? Anybody come to mind or no?
Nah. I mean, my birthday's coming up in like a month, so maybe that might make sense.
Yeah, maybe somebody will reach out on your birthday you haven't talked to since like high school, dude.
Watch me just get no messages like last year.
Oh, well, that's fucking sad. Like last year. You didn't have to throw that in there.
Hey, man, I'm going through changes. I'm still working out the self-pity.
Also, I'm pretty sure at least I texted you on your birthday, even if nobody else did. I did, and I still do, and I will, and I will, because your birthday's easy to remember, and I'm very forgetful, but your birthday's super easy to remember, so I will remember to do it this year too. Don't you worry.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm not tripping about it, and I know I kind of exaggerated a little bit there because it wasn't.
Man.
It was 2020. Everybody's fucking birthday sucked.
Yeah, that was sad. Just like last year, I was like, God damn.
Yeah, that's
like an Edgar Allan Poe poem, dude.
We could make that. Oh no, better yet, I can make that into like a lo-fi album.
Oh, that'd be sad. Just like that's the intro right before the drop of the drum beat, and it's just like, oh.
Oh, and that's why we have to keep that part in, because now I can sample our own podcast in the song.
Dude, oh my God, how meta.
Killing it. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be cool to talk to somebody. Now that I have a lot more free time, because I don't have to, you know, spend all my life doing artwork, I actually have like time to like, you know, be a functional human.
Rekindle, man, rekindle the friendships. That's what I've been trying to do. I've been trying to be a nicer person.
Yeah, it's weird when it's like suddenly you're like, oh shit, like I actually like don't have any excuse. Like I can totally like make time for people now. It's like, oh fuck. Now I actually have to do it.
The blessing and a curse, my friend.
Yes. It's an adjustment for sure. But let's see. Sex is a 3 out of 5. Hustle's a 4 out of 5. Vibe's a 3 out of 5. Success is a 3 out of 5. So pretty decent. Why can't these just be like, hey, you're going to have a good night's sleep tonight? Because I have not slept properly in almost a week right now. So if I'm a little jumpy today, that's why.
Don't worry, man. I'll keep you on track. Today's episode will put you to sleep. You know, it's going to make you nice and tired. So what I would recommend everybody do before we hop in is get some warm milk. All right. Get some warm milk, crawl into bed, get cozy, get your footy pajamas on, because it's going to be beautiful.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. No, this will be. This episode, in a sense, is going to be my bedtime story, huh?
This is pretty much all you're getting out of me, man. This is the bedtime story for you. So if you don't like it, you're just going to have to live with it.
I'll do my best.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back and welcome to the first episode of the greatest month ever, October. It has come. It has finally come.
Yep. The time is nigh.
Now, it is spooky season, and we have been ramping up to it with vampires, werewolves, that kind of shit, right? The cool stuff. But today's episode is going to be based in history, and it will bring us the more somatic, bloody, and disgusting scares for Halloween season rather than what some would call the supernatural.
Right. We do a lot of supernatural things on the show, and it's just every once in a while we find a good excuse to do something that actually happened, like for sure. And this is one of the more gruesome aspects of being a human being is when we realized we could get information and stuff fairly easy just by, you know, pulling off a fingernail.
Exactly. And that's pulling off fingernails is pretty humane compared to what we're going to talk about today. And I hate to put it that way. Now, like, people think that we as humans are animals, like even to this day, that we're a bunch of assholes. When you compare what we do as far as torture goes now to what we used to do for torture back then, you'll be like, holy shit, Guantanamo Bay looks like Disneyland. It's going to be like that.
I'm excited because not because I love torture or anything, but okay. Like this
good backpedal. Okay.
No, but this stuff is always like super fascinating because it's a look at how we changed as a species. Because like you said, back then we just did not give a shit. And in fact, the more back then it was the more brutal, the better, like the worse it is that like the more like props, because the more fear you could instill, the more power you had, because it's not like nowadays where, you know, brute force only goes so far.
Good point. And also to piggyback off that a little bit, while I'm going through this episode and talking about the different torture methods, which is surprise, that's what we're talking about today. Ancient and medieval torture methods / execution, because let's be honest, some of these are brutal enough to kill you. But when we're talking about this kind of stuff, it's not just the fact that the person conducting the torture is into it. Keep in mind that while I'm reading this stuff, most of these methods were also used as like public displays, like of humiliation as well. So that like not only were the torturers digging it, but the general public was digging it as well and watching on.
Wasn't there like in some cases like the torturer or like the executioner? It's like they didn't even really get a thrill out of it. Like, it was just their job.
What would happen is they would start because it would be like, well, first you're getting paid in a time when getting paid was difficult to do. And also it was a steady job, but they learned to like it. But over time, just like almost anything, you become numb to it. And then it's just like, oh fuck, I gotta go to work, you know? It's just like, I gotta go torture some guy to death. Today's gonna Mondays, you know?
Yeah, what a fucking run. They're gonna be thrashing around and begging for their life. Same shit, different day, you know?
Exactly. So that's kind of that's the progression of it. They started off really liking it and being sadistic, and then it just turned into like another 9-to-5 for them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Welcome. See, kids, that's what the future has in store for you. It's all fun and exciting until it stops. But at least when it stops, you know, at least you're still making money. That's the hope.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I have to admit that I was a little hesitant at first to describe today's subject matter as methods. Okay. Because to me, I feel like saying that calling it a method is implying that it's a blueprint, that it's a guide, that it's it's a methodology. And now I want you to all know that this is not a guide. I'm not telling you how it happened so you can replicate it. I'm just telling you how it happened to be as accurate as I can. But, look, if you're having problems getting information, let's say you have like a younger brother who's super annoying, right? And they hid your phone, your cell phone.
Right.
Don't torture it out of them. Don't listen to this episode and be like, huh, you know what? That one pyramid thing sounded pretty good. No, no, no. That's not where you're supposed to get out of this. If you're getting that out of this episode, you know, reconsider listening to our podcast because I don't want to be on fault for that.
Yeah. If you're that easily influenced, then don't look up torture methods. That's a terrible idea.
I had a fantastic time researching this though.
Oh, I bet though. Like I said, it's endlessly fascinating, especially because we know it doesn't happen anymore. Well,
I don't want to knock on wood. I don't want to say that it doesn't because I have this obsessive, that makes me seem like I have like fucking OCD. I have this fear, I should say, of something like Saw happening to me, where like,
same,
you know, like somebody just abducts me and then tortures me. And that's why I'm afraid to say it doesn't happen because I don't want somebody to be like, maybe we should cut this out so nobody kidnaps me.
Yeah. Well, you're already off the grid, but we'll see what we can chop out.
All right. So with that out of the way, remember, not a guide. This episode, I want you guys to go into it basically just imagining the fact that it's basically just lyrics to a really, really long grindcore, gore grind or slam metal song. That's all it is. All right. It's just an hour and a half long of slam metal. That's all these lyrics. It's fucking awesome, man. This is a very metal episode.
I was going to say, depending on how the editing goes and if I have time, maybe I could find some like royalty free metal riff that we can play whenever like something like particularly fucked up happens.
Oh yeah. That'd be awesome, man. Cause there are a couple in here that does definitely deserve a metal riff. That's for damn sure.
All right. So we'll try to keep that in mind while we're doing this.
Awesome. All right. So everybody, without further delay, put on your surgical masks, sharpen your blades, and prepare your slam backtrack because we're diving right in.
Oh, geez. I think I remember I watched for the first time Hostel.
Oh, good. Good. That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's actually because I watched it when forever ago, because at the time with my the girl I was dating in high school, she loved horror films and I did not. But I had to be Mr. Tough Guy, you know, because I didn't want to be a little pussy. So and I never really watched horror films up to that point. So I just had to make it through Hostel. And you know what? It wasn't as bad. It was bad, but it wasn't like as like fucking like, you know, life ruining as I thought.
Yeah, Hostel was I like the Hostel series. The first one is a classic. Can't go wrong with it. The second one, I feel like it gets a little more gruesome in a good way for me at least. But and they also do a good job of expanding upon the world and kind of doing some more world building, because it's about like a high society group of rich dudes who just pay a bunch of money to torture people. That's it. But they delve more into it. The third one, honestly, for me, I could give or take it. So, but it's also a very good series for Halloween.
True. And it's kind of like with the Saw movies, where God, the first movie is one of my favorite movies. It's really good. It's just so fucking scary, but also like not too, it doesn't rely too much on like that. It's more of a thriller and there's like a mystery and the twist at the end is really cool and like all that stuff. But like the second one was like decent. It was good, but it's like as it got along, it just got to a point where it just felt like just like 98% just violence and then just like kind of a plot.
That's yeah. And that you're not wrong. That is true. But I like that. I like the fact that they started leaning more on the gore and the, all and they the traps just, and stuff and
just mutilate people left and right. I mean, hey, if you're, it's a good gore flick if that's what you're looking for this season. But yeah, it got to a point where I'm just like, this is just kind of gross. Like, I don't even really know what I'm getting out of this.
And it's very relevant that you brought up Hostel because it's torture porn. That's the colloquial name for that genre of horror is torture porn. And what are we talking about today but torture?
How on the money?
Okay, so let's do this because I'm fucking hyped. Now, basically, all of the following are from the ancient and medieval areas. If there's a specific... what did I say? Areas?
Areas, yeah.
Oh, dude, I even wrote eras in the outline. I'm just so out of it right now. Okay. Eras. Now, if there is a specified date of origin for a particular torture method, I will bring it up and try and give a little bit of context to it. Also, keep in mind that these are in no particular chronological order because I'm not a fucking historian and time is a human construct anyway. So who cares?
Yep, we made it up.
So first up is the act of flaying, aka skinning.
Starting strong, huh?
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you, this whole episode is going to be a metal song.
Oh, man. Oh, man. And skinning is one of those things where it's like, ooh, but like to actually witness it and to really like let yourself like feel it viscerally, you know, or like not viscerally, but like as soon as I said that, my fan fell over like a ghost knocked it over. That was creepy.
Sorry, somebody's going to get flayed later.
Yeah. God damn. That's like the worst ghost flayed. So it's like, would they just like, you'd feel it, but it's not actually happening.
Yep.
That's just fucking kill me at that point.
Jeez. A phantom flay.
Phantom flay. That also sounds like a, sounds like a, like something you get like at a, like a Halloween, like dinner party.
Phantom fillet.
Yeah, I get haunted by the cow.
I like that we're, it seems that we're cleaning our act up. You just did a ghost dinner party joke.
I did.
How did that make you feel?
I feel closer and closer to 30 every single day.
You feel like Brian Regan right now, just doing clean jokes?
God. if I go full clean, just cut me up. Just fire me from the show because I don't even want to be in it anymore.
I'll flay you.
Thank you.
So the act of flaying originated somewhere between 883 to 859 BC. It's a very old act. Now, there have been many, many carvings and drawings of this act that have been discovered and collected over the years from archaeologists. So this form of torture was not only historically verified, but it was apparently quite common during ancient times.
Oh, yeah. You didn't need a whole lot to do it.
Definitely not. You just need a starting point, baby. Just need a little incision and just start, you know, peeling it like an orange.
Ow. And that one. And here, let me say something to get us all in the mood for this one. And I'm sure you'll appreciate this, Nick. Now, imagine, you know, you're trimming your nails. You notice there's a little bit of skin though, kind of on the side. And you're like, ah, fuck it. I'll just deal with that later. And then that evolves into a bit of a, you know, bit of a hangnail. And you're like, okay, fine. I'll just yoink it. And you pull it, but it doesn't come out. In fact, it pulls back. And then you're just like, I'm just going to do one big pull. Ugh. And then now suddenly rip.
Ugh. Dude, it's like that scene in Black Swan. Do you remember that?
I didn't see Black Swan.
Ooh, dude, she has it kind of, it's scary that you brought that up because it's almost the exact same situation, but she pulls it and the skin just goes upper, upper hand in her arm.
I saw a clip of that. And I don't know if you saw me visibly wince when you brought that up.
So that's what we're dealing with. That's essentially what we're dealing with here, but it's involuntary and it's happening all over. Now, as the name implies, this was simply just the removal of skin of somebody who was still alive. That's important to note.
Right.
They are alive during this process because then it's not torture. Then it's just like playing with your food. Wait, what?
back then at different times, I think.
Now, as most of these torture methods are concerned, it was a form of torture and or execution based on the severity level.
Yeah.
That's just kind of goes hand in hand.
Well, it's kind of hard to continue with your day-to-day activities when you no longer have skin.
Yes. Yeah, because then people just think that you're an Attack on Titan extra.
Yep, basically.
I just made an anime joke. Somebody fucking shoot me in the head, please. Yeah. Anybody.
It's this weird, like, cosmic, like twist of this episode. Like, we're acting so outside of character.
I don't like it. Now I have to say something mean about anime. People who watch anime don't know that deodorant exists.
You could have been meaner, but I'll take it.
All right. So in this case, the more that skin was removed, the higher the likelihood of death. Of course, it's a natural correlation.
Yeah.
So,
I was going to say, like, yeah. So if they, like, flayed, like, just your arm, yeah, you'll live. You'll be in fucking brutal pain for a couple months, but you'll probably be okay unless you got infected. And back then, that was pretty likely too.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the major causes of death from flaying is infection. Now, in order to torture somebody with this method, they would remove small pieces of skin at a time from sensitive areas. These areas include the thighs, the neck, the scalp, the face, underarms, these very sensitive areas where they would just take little bits off at a time, like little maybe couple inches at a time.
That actually changes my perspective a bit, because whenever I pictured flaying, I just, like you said, I just, like, you pick a starting point and just rip.
Yeah, just like taking down old wallpaper.
Yeah. But I guess, yeah, that's not super effective in terms of if you're using it as a method of torture to get, like, information or something like that. Like, yeah, you're going to want to go bit by bit by bit, because you're going to run out of skin eventually.
Exactly. You can't just do it off like a Band-Aid all in one fell swoop. You know, if you want to get information, you got to make them work for it.
It'd be like buying a sheet of bubble wrap and twisting it up and popping it all at once. Like,
there's no fun in that, you know? Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that flaying somebody's like necessarily a fun pastime.
But yeah, it's like you're just, you know, you're getting all your leverage and just using it in one go. Like, if you do a one and done and they don't talk, guess what, buddy? Now you got to come up with a whole different way to torture them.
Yeah. And that's not, I mean, come on. It's already a lot of work to skin somebody, you know, you don't want to come up with another way. So
exactly. Or like, you know, even worse, the guy, it's like, you know, you've tortured them that much already that they're like, I'm going to die anyway. So I'd rather just take my, whatever I have to the grave. So it's just ineffective.
Exactly. Now, if we're looking at this as a form of execution, what they would do is they'd still take skin from the sensitive areas, but they'd take a lot more of the skin. And then this would do a couple things. The first is obviously, like Tasker mentioned, it would cause infection. These were very dirty, dirty times that they lived in back in the day. And I want you to imagine your skin is your protection. That's what it is biologically. It's a protection of your insides. So without skin, you're going to get infection literally probably within seconds. Yeah. And, so not only infection, but the shock, like the pure shock of getting the skin of your genitals, let's say, removed, sounds like a lot for the body, right?
Yeah, that's even just thinking about it actually like made my stomach like turn for a second.
Just like your scrotal skin being torn back, you know?
It's lovely.
And of course, loss of blood, right? What if they nicked an artery or a vein or something? Loss of blood can occur.
And that's interesting, though, too, because there's does require a degree of finesse, because you could fuck it up and then they just die prematurely. So when you're getting flayed, that doesn't necessarily mean like the entire, like all like layers of skin. It might just be the first couple.
It could be. I don't know how deep they did this mm-hmm. skin, but what I pictured while reading this part was, this could be completely wrong biologically. I don't know if this would work, but I just, my weird mind jumped to the fact that when they were done with them, they just looked like muscles, right? They just had like muscle and stuff. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping. I mean, not hoping. That's what I'm kind of, maybe hoping for, right? Yeah, is that they just are a bunch of muscles walking around with infections.
Oh, yeah. Because you're probably not going to last long if you're like that. And then that means the pain stops sooner.
Exactly. And what else does the skin protect you from? The elements not to extremes, but for the most part. And now that means the last common cause of death for flaying was hypothermia.
Not something you always think about when it comes to flaying, because it's true. You need that internal body temp of like at least like around 97, 98. And guess what? When you lose your entire first layer of protection, that gets threatened pretty quick, I imagine.
Yes, it does, man. Yes, it does. So that's Flaying there. And there's almost everything that you'd ever want to know about Flaying. And that was the goal of this episode was, yes, you guys might have heard of some of these torture methods, but now I'm going to tell you more about them and the details behind them.
Yeah, a little bit more knowledge to walk away from. Like I said, the hypothermia one, that's right. You didn't think of that.
Now, next up is keel hauling. So avast, me mateys. We be doing a bit of keel hauling today.
Oh, no. So I take it this is not some fun Viking game or something, huh?
You know what? It's funny because you bring that up because keel hauling is a word that most of you have probably heard, right? Like, Tasker, you've probably heard the word keel hauling, right, before?
Nope.
Okay, never mind. Well, maybe some of you guys out there have. You know, Tasker's called yes and. Anyway, so... I don't know. I've never been to improv school.
IDK.
So you guys have probably heard this word keel hauling out there, especially if you listen to pirate metal. There's a lot of pirate metal songs called keel hauling. Mm. Now, most of the time when you hear it in context, it's talking about pirates and like old timey sailors, but you might not know what it actually means and what it actually is. And I definitely didn't know until now. Like, I thought it was just some fun pirate shit, you know?
Yeah. It sounds like a game you play on the deck with barrels.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like something that you do to pass the time when you're on a voyage. And it's, yeah. I mean, I guess technically it is something that you could do to pass the time, but it's not, you don't want to be the one being passed on, you know what I mean?
Being keel hauled.
So keel hauling, when you break down the word keel hauling into two words, it is exactly what it sounds like. So the torturee was tied up, like bound by legs and arms, and then tied to another rope, which was suspended and then lowered into the water. And then they would have another rope on the other side that pulled the person underwater below the keel of the ship, which is the bottom of the hull.
Oh shit.
Up into the other side of the ship. And they would do it over and over again as a form of torture, like basically submerging them underwater, under the ship, back over the other side and back and forth, back and forth.
Oh, that's ouch. That sounds really painful.
And it was very painful because not only were they underwater, but they, back in the day, even now, like if you guys look at ships to this day, even with how we try and keep them clean, what loves to be on ships, especially underneath the water? Barnacles. Oof. Barnacles are sharp. All right. They're made of shells. So they were not only being underwater, but they were being dragged across a bunch of barnacles, getting scraped up and all kinds of shit, man, getting infected.
All that salt water is getting in. And yeah, they're basically like in a weird way running him over, like just over and over.
Right. Exactly. So not only was it that bad when they would do it fast because they'd get cut up from the barnacles, but if they tried to do it slower to not get them cut up by barnacles to make the torture last longer, there was always the threat of drowning.
Yeah, because they're, you know, underwater. So if they have a little too much fun, they might pull them back up and it's already over.
Exactly. And that happened a lot, unfortunately. A lot of times they did drown. So
I don't imagine pirates are the best gauges of, you know, how long somebody's how big someone's lung capacity is.
Yeah, exactly. So keel hauling is really just kind of like a poorly designed ride at Disneyland. Like, it's like if the designers of Pirates of the Caribbean ride didn't do a good job, and then that's what you got is keel hauling.
Hasn't something like that happened at Disneyland where somebody fell under and got like run over by like the boat, or maybe it was like one of the roller coaster things?
I don't know, man. I've heard so many urban legends about Disneyland. There's YouTube videos out there that are very creepy that go over that kind of stuff.
Maybe we could do an episode on that.
That would be awesome. Because it's creepy. There's some weird shit that goes down at the Disneyland parks. So
yeah, I saw a thing. It was, I guess somebody like worked at Disneyland, and there was like this obese guy who was holding his like kid who's like, you know, infant or something like that, like baby, like just born. And he tripped and fell.
Ugh.
And they said, "Yep, there was no crying and pronounced dead outside of the park as usual."
Jeez, man, that's terrible.
That's sad as fuck. See the like talking torture is like, you know, it's fun, gory, that and that's just dark and sad.
Yeah, that's just like Did they have to throw the line in there? There was no crying. That's just like the worst thing you could ever say. That's sad, man.
Fucking terrible. But yeah, it's better than being a little too more blunt about it. But it's a very, very tragic tale. And yeah, what can I say? Now I'm like, shit, maybe I should start taking walks at night.
I was going to say, I didn't want to be an asshole, but I was like, maybe this guy should have eaten a salad every once in a while, you know? So we do have a little bit of background information on keel hauling. The earliest known mention. So like when we think of this, we usually think of pirates in that time of that era, but the earliest known mention of keel hauling was actually from the Greeks around 700 BC. Now at the time, it sprouted up as a punishment for piracy and piracy within the Greek Navy. And this act continued into the Middle Ages. And that's why we associate it with pirates and sailors and stuff like that, is because it became much more prominent later on, but it did originate with the Greeks.
I see. Oh, cool.
Okay. So this next one is, now I don't want to call it my favorite because that would make me seem, you know, like a psychopath. Mm-hmm. But it's cool. Like, it's not cool either. It's the most compelling. I'll put it that way, because that's neutral.
It's fascinating.
It's a fascinating one. And now for those of you who are into like gape porn, this is you, all right?
Oh, no. I'm worried.
So this is something known as the Judas Cradle, okay? So this torture method is something like literally straight out of a backyard cannibalism song. Like, it is brutal. All right. Mm-hmm. Basically, in a room or outside, there would be a tall stool. Okay. Much taller than what we would think of as a stool. Now at the top of the stool laid a either metal or stone pyramid that comes up to a sharp point. Okay. The person being tortured would be stripped naked, tied up, and then with another rope, they would be suspended above the pyramid. Okay. Now, some of you guys know where this is going.
Don't like where this is going.
Now, over the course of several days, the torturee would be lowered toward the pyramid point, and the pyramid point would be inserted into either the anus or the vagina. Okay.
Owie.
Now, I don't know if we have any, you know, geometry students or Egyptologists listening, but a pyramid starts at a point and then becomes wider towards the base, right?
Indeed.
So, with that being said, with that simple geometry out of the way, they would insert the tip of the pyramid into one of their holes and then lower them either quickly or slowly, which would in turn open up the orifice. Whichever orifice they chose that day.
Ow.
Now, this is where the threshold of torture and death is broken. Now, allegedly, the pyramid of the Judas Cradle was not washed much, as you could imagine. Okay. So first I want you guys to mentally imagine you're on the Judas Cradle pyramid and your butt is now dilated to like 2 feet. Okay.
Oh, and it's not even like a smooth, like it's corners and everything.
Yeah, it was like a three-sided pyramid.
Oh god.
So your butt's about 2 feet wide and there's a pyramid halfway through your body. Okay, you're dying. Now imagine all of the juices and all of the au jus and all the germs that are both in your anal cavity and like up in your guts where the tip of the pyramid is.
Yeah.
And then once you die, because there's a pyramid halfway through your body through your anus,
right?
They take you off, they burn you or do whatever with you, have sex with your corpse, I don't know. Yeah. And then the next person comes in for the same torture and they don't wash it.
No. Why would they?
Because what exactly? Why would they? Because the end game for this is death, right? So they're like, fuck yeah. So now all this blood and all the different whole fluids and all your intestinal fluids are on this pyramid. And now everybody who before you has died on this pyramid is now inside of you and infecting your insides. So even if they don't kill you with the sheer force of a pyramid going halfway through your body, the infection will get you.
Yeah. So this is more of an execution method, but a very torture-y way to die, because either way, when you're on that thing, you're more than likely not coming back.
Right. Because even if they don't kill you, even if they use it as a torture method and they don't dilate your butt to like 3 feet, you're still going to get infection and probably die. That's just it, man.
Well, yeah, that's just like, you know, using like, you know, like if you got the bottom of a what are those things called? Porta potties. And like you just fashion it, you just like cut it out, you know, the part with all the shit all over it. And you just cut out like a rectangle of it and just start just like shoving it up your ass.
Yeah,
that's basically what's going on here.
Yeah. So not a good time. The Judas cradle was not a good time, both because of the infection. But I think mainly for me, it'd be the pyramid getting shoved up my ass.
Yeah, I think that's probably the worst part of it all.
And there's one similar to this that we'll talk about in a little bit, too.
Got it. Yeah, just impalement. That's just one of the most just fucking brutal, sad, fucked up ways to go.
Jeez. Like, yeah. Like I kind of like, I'd rather get impaled to death with like a stick. A pyramid right. Just kind of seems rude, you know?
Yeah, it's a very unkind way to end somebody's life.
Okay, so that's enough for that one. Now, the next one was popularized. Actually, I should say it was made infamous by the Salem witch trials. Okay, now this is one that you guys probably have heard of. So we're talking about pressing.
Oh, I think this happens in the Crucible, right?
It does. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I know this one.
So for those of you who don't know, pressing was a method of torture in which the person being tortured was, again, stripped naked, because it's not torture if they're not naked, apparently, and secured to the ground on their backs. Then a flat, heavy wooden board was placed over their body, mainly on their chest cavity and their stomachs.
Gotcha.
Now, upon interrogation, the torturer would place rocks or iron weights onto the board little by little, crushing or pressing the victim. And that's where we get the name from. Mm. It's said that the torturers reveled in the pain of others and they were sadistic, as we've established already. So with that being said, a lot of the time pressing would lead to death. Especially during the Salem witch trials, because they just wanted to get somebody to, because look, you couldn't win during the Salem witch trials. If you don't admit to being a witch, they kill you. If you admit to being a witch, they'll be like, hey, thanks. And then they'll kill you, you know? So like, you don't win.
Yeah. When you get the finger pointed at you, it's basically a death sentence.
Yeah. And the pressing was no joke. This was a way that they did it. And now one of the main ways that people died during pressing was purely from the pressure of the weights, suffocation. They died from suffocation. They weren't able to expand their lungs anymore.
Yep. They got crushed. Yeah. There's no more air because of that constant, you know, it's like you like a baster, but you just squish it and never let go. That's kind of what's happening to your lungs.
Exactly. Good way to put it. Yeah. It's weird that it's weird. You know, what's weird is you have good analogies for this whole episode so far. And it's kind of making me think that you're looking at these in practical terms.
I'm just visual. He said defensively.
Yeah. He's okay, buddy.
Hey, whatever, man. It's fall. Fall's like my favorite season. It's fucking me too. Thanksgiving and shit. Like, yeah.
Yeah, true. We're all in a spooky spirit. I feel it, man. I'd be lying if my junk didn't wiggle a little bit throughout this episode.
Bit of a twitch every now and again.
Now, the other way they died is arguably worse. I don't know what's worse between not being able to breathe or this. So you guys decide. Now, the weight would become so heavy that somehow they were still able to get air to their lungs, but their bones would begin to break. And when these bones break, they would either rip through the skin and cause major loss of blood, and or broken bones would puncture their internal organs if they were broken and pushed downward. And sometimes it was both. Sometimes you bled out and your lung was punctured, you know? So that sucks.
Yeah, it's not a great way to go. It's a bad day to be a swimmer, you know, with that fat lung capacity. And then it's like, cool, you're just going to die a much bloodier and more horrible way.
It's like, I trained my whole life for this just to die with my rib and my spleen.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Now, pressing is known to date back to the 13th century, but it's such an ingenious yet simple method of torture slash execute slash, I can't fucking say that, slash execution, that I would not be surprised if it occurred much earlier than that. We just don't have records of it.
Yeah. And it also works out because if they give you the information you want to hear, it's easier. Okay. Then just start taking the rocks off. Like, cool. And you'll probably be okay because there's no actual, like, you know, opening of wounds, you know, unless it's too late. But also that adds a little bit more. I still think the best line in all of the Crucible, the play, also movies, is like, what's his face is getting pressed, you know, and they're trying to be like, all right, now anything you want to say to us before we, and it's like last words is more weight.
What a badass.
That's a fucking way to go, dude. Like, we all wish we could. And it's just like, you know, when you know, adrenaline's a hell of a drug. So it's like, you know, most of us tend to be big old pussies in our last moments and stuff like that. But how fucking cool to be able to just be like, eat my ass.
Eat my ass. Dude, I'd love it if I could do that in that situation. But I'd be like, please, sir, come on, man. I didn't do nothing. I don't want to die.
Oh, I know. I would bitch out. You know, it's like we can be. But who knows? Maybe we might even surprise ourselves. You never know.
You never know until you're in that situation. So hopefully we never have to know.
Yeah. And that's the thing too. Yeah. For everyone out there, it's hopefully you never have to figure out how you are in these situations because it's just not good.
Yeah. It's not the 13th century anymore. We should be okay.
Right.
So next up we have the Blood Eagle. Mm-hmm. Now this is for my Vikings. All right. This is for my Monomarth fans. This one's for you guys.
Oh God. I don't like this one purely because it makes me think of Midsommar.
Oh yeah, they did it in there. Yeah.
It's fucking gross, dude. That movie just made me feel disgusting.
Okay, now I assume that most of you out there don't know what a Blood Eagle is, so we're gonna explain, of course. So to be fair, there's two caveats here. One, this was more of a method of execution than torture, but in this episode it bears mentioning, trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing I should mention is that the Blood Eagle has only been mentioned in two literary works of the Norse sagas. So the fact that it happened historically as a form of torture or execution is not 100% confirmed, but it's not denied either. Like, it came from somewhere. We just don't have actual records of it happening to people except for in literary works. But it's like, well, you just don't think something up like that, you know?
Yeah, that's not the fact that it's like so like recreatable, you know, in terms of like art and like whatever. Somebody's done it.
Exactly. Now, what is a blood eagle? What am I talking about here? So let's use an example. Let's use Tasker as an example. Okay.
Oh boy.
So Tasker, imagine that I force you onto your stomach and tie you there, and then I expose your back, right? I cut off your clothes or whatever.
Cool.
Now it's not where you think it's going. All right. It's
unfortunately not.
Okay. I don't know which one you'd prefer, but probably not this. Then I cut deep enough into your back on both sides of your spinal cord in order to cut or rip the ribs from your spine. Okay. That's number one, is I have to make sure that I remove the back of your ribs from your spine. Okay. And then what I do with your ribs is I pull them outward, right? I pull them outward out of your back, you know?
Yeah.
And then once your ribs are facing the sky, basically like the broken ends of your ribs are facing the sky, then I reach into your guts and then I pull one lung out of each hole. Okay. And then I put them to the side, hence the name Blood Eagle, because your lungs now look like you have wings.
That's so cute.
Yeah. Isn't that adorable?
Well, fuck. Okay. What I was trying to say in that string of mumbles was, so it's not the ribs are not pulled out to look like wings. It's the lungs.
It's the lungs that are meant to be the final product of the art installment, if you will. That's it, baby. Like, the ribs are just a means to an end. You got to get through the ribs to get the lungs out.
I see. And that's a very Viking thing to do. That's pretty fucking extra because you got to be pretty strong to pull that off.
Yeah. Sounds like a bad time.
Yeah, it's a terrible time, but it's also like a flex at the same time of like, we're not only just going to brutally torture them, because they're alive when all this is happening, I'm assuming, right?
Yes. Ugh. That's so bad. Dude, that sucks, man. So if this really happened, that sucks.
Yeah.
Can I just say that?
Man. I mean, fortunately, it won't be your problem for long afterwards, because when your lungs are forced out of your body and your entire, you know, the you just rib cages is completely torn apart. Like, you know, you're not gonna be moving much longer.
Nah.
Great.
Brutal.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe it's just because I'm so tired, but like, man, that one made me not feel so hot.
Don't worry, man. If it makes you feel any better, you have like a 0.01% chance of it happening to you, like in modern times.
Yeah. Well, it's also too, it's just very, it's very effort heavy. Like there's a lot of like, you really got to know what you're doing and you really need to be like, you know, strong, unless you have like a machine. And then at that point, it's just like, how do you like, it's just, that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, man. Ribs are, it doesn't take a lot to crack a rib, but it takes a lot to remove all the ribs from your spine and then pull them outward. That sucks.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a fucking lot of effort. And like a lot of the people that are fucked up enough to do shit like this, like tend to not be known as the strongest because, you know, sometimes the reason people kill people is because they're just not strong people to begin with. And this is their like way of like seizing power or something.
You know what? It sounds like a lot of work. Now I'm trying to figure out at this point, I'm questioning who's really being tortured here. The guy getting the blood eagle or the guy that has to do it.
Yeah. It sounds like Johnny, you got to do the blood eagle. And he's like, fuck, I got the blood eagle today. Like, God damn it. It's
going to be, can I use the saw? Hell. No.
Oh, yeah. What are you, a pussy? Like, come on, man. Oh geez. So yeah, not crazy about this one. It's gross.
Don't worry. I won't do it to you.
Thank you. That's nice because it's too much work.
Fuck that. Yeah. Sorry, man. Okay. So now we come to something. Now, I believe this is how it's pronounced. I've never had to say this word out loud before. It's called scaphism. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce that. Okay. Jesus. Yeah. Let me just think back to my Sesame Street days.
Hooked on phonics.
S-C-A-P-H-I-S-M. Scaphism. Now, that despite the fancy name, this is something that some of you might have heard of. Now, again, doesn't sound groovy. Most of the things on this list, all the things on this list aren't groovy. But this one really sounds like it sucks. And again, this is a method of torture. But if gone on long enough, if they really wanted to, they could easily kill somebody with this method, okay? So scaphism is when a person is put in between two boats out on the water, tied there. They're tied to the boat, so they're like in between and are not able to go underwater. And their feet are sticking out. I don't know why that's important, but it is. Then they are both covered in honey and force-fed honey and milk, okay? Now the force feeding of the milk and honey made it so that the victims got diarrhea. Okay. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. I misread. This takes place in a boat and they're tied into a boat.
Okay. I was going to say, I think I kind of know where this is going, but cause I thought it was like, you know, like how in like that one movie where it's like, they have like the two trucks and they just like tie
them
and then just pulls them apart. Now, this one, they're tied up in a boat, right?
They're tied up in a boat and then they're covered in honey and force fed milk and honey, which at first sounds pretty cool, right? Yeah, it sounds like a wicked kinky Saturday night.
Yeah. Like a cool day off.
Yeah. The problem arises. So at first they're probably hard as a Dickens, right? But the problem comes in and, when the honey on their body and the diarrhea that they have from being force fed attract certain types of insects. Okay. Mm. Now, what these insects would do is they would burrow into the skin of the person and procreate in the skin. They would eat through the flesh. Maggots would come from the procreation and eat more of the flesh. And literally, they would just be eaten alive by maggots and bugs due to the diarrhea and the honey.
Yeah, I've heard of this one before. It's extremely fucking terrible way to go. Like, just cover you in all the stuff that all the flesh eating bugs love and just let them go to town.
Yep.
Yikes. Yeah. Not kinky and not fun at all.
No. See, it started off very promising. You're like, ooh, tie me up and cover me in honey. You know what I mean? It sounds like you're getting lucky. No, yeah, man. Okay. You're getting lucky with a bunch of maggots. And now the other problem with this is it was, as you could imagine, an extremely slow method of torture. It takes right. place over several days because they need you to get diarrhea, and then you have to shit yourself a bunch, and then they need the bugs to find you, and then they need the bugs to procreate and have sex inside of you to have the maggots. So it takes a long time for it to happen, but when it happens, it sucks.
Yeah, well, usually don't you die from starvation first anyways? But so that's just like... And like dehydration. So you're basically just out there for just like a week, just in like agony until your body just gives out.
Yeah. I mean, they are giving you milk and honey, but I don't think you live off milk and they keep feeding you to keep make it so you keep having diarrhea. But at a certain point, they stop. So then, yes, you will get dehydrated from the diarrhea faster too. And, you know, it's just a whole mess. It's just a mess, man.
Yeah. Not a good time. And, doesn't sound like they like, okay, I see how it's like a torture method where it's like, the point is you want them to say what they need to say before all that shit starts up. And then they decide to be Mr. Brave Boy. Then it's like, all right.
They're like, all right, buddy. Well, your friends, the bugs are coming. So if you want to talk now, you know,
you just became a fucking human buffet.
Now, it should be said that this has never been historically confirmed. However, it has appeared in so much literature throughout the early days of history. Like, there's a huge list of it online that it had to have come from somewhere. That's what the general consensus is that although we don't have any confirmed writings or drawings of this, it is so prevalent in literature that it had to have come from somewhere.
Yeah, I wonder too if it only like you need to be in a specific type of environment to make it work, because like maybe there's like a like, you know, some areas where the bugs are not super flesh eating, or like, you know, it'll just take longer, where maybe it depends on like, you know, where you're from. Like if you're in like swamplands and stuff, okay, yeah, I fucking bet there's some like, you know, flesh eating bullshit. But what if you're just in like, I don't know, Wisconsin or something?
Wisconsin. Worst thing you get in Wisconsin is somebody throwing brats and cheese at you.
Yeah. Also having to, you know, die in your own shit.
Oh, if you don't like that, there's another one coming up that's pretty cool.
Awesome. Cool. Do we go get to the one with the rat and the bucket?
The rat? Yes, we do.
Okay. I won't spoil that. We'll just hang tight for that one.
All right. Our next form of torture is called the wheel. Sounds ominous, but yep. This method does go by many names, including wheeling, the breaking wheel, and the Catherine wheel, etc. There's a lot of names for it.
Oh, this is, I mean, I hesitantly describe it this way, but it's kind of a torture classic.
It's a classic. Yes, it is a classic. And in fact, it happened. We'll get into a story at the end of this section as to why it's called the Catherine wheel, but it is notorious for a certain execution method. Now, basically what would happen is the person being tortured and or executed were tied to a giant wagon wheel. Okay. So you guys know what I'm talking about. One of those big wooden wheels, got a bunch of spokes, right? And they were tied to this wagon wheel, but you know how on these big wheels, they have these thick wooden spokes, like a bunch of them sticking out, right, to support the rims?
Right.
What would happen is that their limbs and their heads were tied in a way over the spokes that made it so that there was optimal, like, leverage, let's say, like leverage to do certain things to them. Huh. So as a visual, let's say the spoke is pointing that way and I'm tied up this way so that there's leverage here between the rim and the spoke. And there's leverage here for certain breakpoints.
So you're not just like laid across it, but they kind of like put your arms like up and over the spokes as if you were like, kind of like, you know, had like a, like you were leaning up against something and like put your arms like under and over it, which like you said, now has specific more specific leverage. So if you wanted to break it, it's already in like kind of in, it's kind of, they're already in like a submission kind of deal.
Right. There's two methods. There's that method, which makes it easy to break without any extra help. Or the other method is that they would lay them straight across it. And then they would put these like wooden wedges underneath certain points between the wheel and their arm or their leg or whatever. And then they use that as leverage. So what they would do is they would take hammers or mallets and hammer those points of leverage on the bone, making breaks in places that breaks shouldn't usually take place.
So both are bad. Neither of them really has a there's no real preference to have with these.
No, man. Either way, you're not going to have a good time. Either way, it's going to be like, yo, that part of my femur shouldn't be able to break that easily. You know what I mean?
I ain't no doctor, but I'm pretty sure the skeleton is not supposed to do that.
Yeah. Now, so the practice was actually quite widespread throughout Europe. Like you said, Tasker is kind of a torture classic. Right. It was very, very prominent, and it was through the Middle Ages up until even the early modern era. And it was very popular in Germany and France in particular. In fact, it was so prevalent that the last known instance of this happening, last known recorded instance, I should say, was in 1841 Prussia, relatively not that long ago.
Yeah, it seems a long time ago, but in terms of like the scope of human history of using this, fairly recent.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Now, here's a fun fact, the one that I was talking about, why it's called the Catherine Wheel. Well, I don't know how fun of a fact this is, but it's like a fact, right? So it was referred to as the Catherine Wheel because St. Catherine was attempted, they attempted execution on St. Catherine using this fashion after she refused to renounce her Christian faith. However, the wheel shattered before she could die due to the pure impact of like the hammer on her limbs and stuff, which, by the way, when the wheel broke, it was seen as divine intervention. Now, sometimes they would take that as a message from God and let the people, you know, leave, which wasn't really saying much because they probably died from their injuries anyway.
Yeah.
But in this case, they like, fuck it. And they just killed her by beheading anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring that up. There were cases where, and this is why they say now it's like when they pronounce like your execution, they say they now have to specifically state that you will be something to death, because back then it's like your punishment is hanging. But if you survive the hanging, technically you are free to go because that was your punishment. Your punishment wasn't death. Your punishment was hanging. So if your punishment was the Catherine Wheel and you survive it, they would just be like, oh, like, I guess you can go because like, yeah, like you did your punishment.
Yeah, just good luck walking away, though, after we broke your femur in eight places, you know?
Yeah, you're definitely not, like, you know, neener on your way out, I'll say that.
You're like, suckers!
Doing a little dance or something. That'd be like if you survived the Judas thing. It's like, yeah, maybe you live, but now you're like, your butthole's now a wind tunnel.
Yeah, now you whistle when you walk, and this is not from your mouth, you know what I mean?
Now you have a whole, like, 16 ounces of storage with you at all times.
Dude, the Judas cradle is probably one of the most brutal things I've ever heard. Like, it's I'm not even into gape stuff. Like, I already hate gape porn. Like, I hate, not gay porn, gape porn, right?
With a P, right.
With
right.
A P, G-A-P-E. I don't like that stuff. I think it's gross. Now I'm trying to imagine it in a torture situation, right, but like four times as wide. And it's like, but not only is it wide, but there's something in there making it wide.
Yeah, and also to the fact that it's not for pleasure either. It's just, it is intentionally like there to cause damage.
You know, there was always that, there's probably one guy throughout the history of cradle, of the Judas cradle, who was just fucking jizzing everywhere. just shooting ropes,
the
dude.
Longest fucking spider silk string the world has ever seen. Died happy, I guess. honestly, dude, that probably did happen. There's gotta be one guy out there, because whatever you did was so fucked up to like warrant that kind of like, you know, punishment. I expect the guy has pretty poor taste, so I'll say that.
And do you want to know the weirdest thought I just had? And I hate that I have this thought, dude.
Oh no, what
about the Judas cradle? Is there's a point for everybody on the Judas cradle, a point where maximum pleasure happens right before ultimate pain. Like, there's a point where it's like, oh, you know, like,
oh, that's not bad.
That's hitting the spot, you know, like whether it's in the ass or the vagina, there's a certain point where it's like, hey, this is pretty cool.
See, I would agree with you, except for the fact that it's pointed and it's got like corners. And I feel like that in itself, it's like, it has the texture of like a juicer thing. So, I mean, unless over the usage of it, it's kind of whittled it down a little bit. Okay, then maybe there is a point where it's like, okay, this isn't so bad. But then very quickly that is no longer the case.
Oh man, I'm just the things you think of are just like weird sometimes.
I bet, because when people are like getting fucking, you know, actively killed, you know, your mind goes to whatever it can to like, you know, ease the blow. And I'm sure that's for some people, that's where they went. It's like, oh, well, at least it's hitting that G spot.
Yeah, at least I can finish one last time.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's We're terrible yeah. people.
So, yeah, Catherine's wheel, though. She just got her head cut off and it was just she died.
She died. Yeah, because she survived. Somehow she survived all the limb breakage and the wheel broke. And they're like, you know, instead of letting her go, let's teach her a lesson, or teach the Christians a lesson, and we'll cut her head off and just not let her go. And that's what they did.
Yeah, that happened a lot. What was it? There's one of the patron saints that I forget his name, but he basically he was, of course, back when the Christians were persecuted. He was an actor, and he was just like, that was just his profession. And at one point, he would sneak on holy water onto the stage and act, and like in like a stage baptism would actually like baptize people. And when they figured it out, like on stage during his performance, two guards just showed up, shoved him down, just chopped his head off.
Damn, bro.
Yep. Fun times, you know?
Well, our next torture method is one that you all might have heard of because it is quite infamous. It's simply called rat torture.
Okay. This is what I was talking about.
This is the one that Tasker got all hot and bothered and excited for.
Not excited. Excited isn't the word I would choose.
Aroused.
We'll get there. Once you get the description, you'll see my thoughts on this.
Okay. So the idea of rat torture is that the person being tortured, or again, executed, would be tied down to a table or the floor on their backs. Then a metal cage filled with rats would be placed upon the victim's stomach and chest area. The edge of the cage in contact with the victim was open, leaving the rats to crawl all over them. Now, this sounds kind of nasty, right? But it was not the torture. That's like a trip to Petco. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, I've seen worse stuff on Fear Factor.
Exactly. Now, the opposite end of the cage would be heated with fire, causing the rats to panic and look for a way out to avoid the heat.
Right.
Okay. Now, unfortunately, there was only one way out for them. And like me drowning in a pool of Cheez-Its, the only way is to eat their way out.
Yep. It's like, oh no, we're in this giant literal furnace and the only thing blocking our way is meat. Mm. So guess what they're going to do?
Exactly. The rats would gnaw at the victim's stomach and chest cavities and chew their way through the stomach and chest, looking for an escape from the increasingly hot metal cage. So long story short, you get burrowed through by rats eating your flesh while you're still alive.
Yep. So you basically get a bunch of dirty rodents up in your cavity. And if that doesn't kill you, the fact that they are actively trying to eat through you, because also too, you know, there's a end to your, you know, they got the whole back of your rib cage to get through. So they're probably not going to make it. So where else to go but up or down, you know?
Yeah, buddy.
So, yeah, not a pleasant way to go. Very horrible, and leaving your fate up to a panicked animal, basically.
Right, and it wasn't just metal cages. It was a common way for it to happen because it was easy to heat, because metal cages, they conduct heat, right? And you can make it hot for the rats easily. But like Tasker mentioned earlier, buckets could be used, and they would use fire prods to get the rats scared and get them to eat the opposite direction, which was somebody's stomach. There were many different methods, but the idea behind the torture was always the same. The rats would be forced to chew their way through the person's stomach.
Yeah, it's just a very, very rude way to go about it.
It's not very nice.
Yeah,
to the rats or the people.
Yeah, because the rats, it's like now there's like other animals involved. Like, come on, man.
Now, this is an old method of torture and execution dating back to 17th century Europe during the Dutch Revolt. But that's not the most notable thing about this. It should be noted that this was a common practice in recent times, particularly in South American dictatorships.
That's horrifying.
Yes, and even more horrifying is that the most recent documented case from these South American dictatorships was in 1990 during the Chilean dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet.
Ah, so 30, About 30 years ago. Huh?
Yeah, dude.
Great.
Yeah, dude.
Cool. So great. Awesome.
So most of what we're talking about in today's episode, you can be grossed out by, but not afraid of. This one, yeah. If you catch yourself in a dictator regime, there's a chance that this could happen to you if you piss them off, I guess.
Yeah. Ooh. And I don't even know what advice to give in that kind of situation. It's a damned if I do, damned if I don't, just hope they don't catch you kind of deal.
Yep. Yep.
That's
now it's scary. Gross. And it's scary. The fact that some people in some dictatorships still have to think like, yo, this could happen to me tomorrow if I speak up.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, that's unpleasant. And it's interesting though too, where it's like, I wonder if there's like the mafia and like, you know, these like organized criminals that they have their own like distinct like torture methods or like signature torture methods or something like that.
They might, and I didn't think to look that up because, you know, we were doing like ancient stuff, but right. I am interested in if people want to, we could do an episode on, you know, mafia torture methods. Now, the thing that I'm worried about though is my search history is fucked right now. Like I looked up all these different methods of torture. And so, I don't know, like we'll see. So now when I start typing in like mafia torture methods, you know, it's like,
and also, cause what's nice about it being ancient is it's ancient. A lot of these are out of practice and just kind of like, it's almost not really worth anybody's while to like enact these, you know, with modern technology. But if we start going into modern torture methods, now we're starting to toe the line of like, you know, educational and fun information for Halloween and like a chapter in the Anarchist Cookbook, you know?
Right. Yeah, my FBI agent is just looking at me like, dude, what is he doing in his basement? Should we go check? Yeah. Should we white van this guy? You know, like I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, we gotta be careful to an extent.
Now, one more thing about the rat torture I wanted to bring up is quite interesting. Sigmund Freud actually had a patient. So Sigmund Freud only had 6 publicly published case studies. This one of the 6 was a man that he called Rat Man. Now, with his case studies, he didn't use people's real names to kind of the ones that he published, at least he didn't use their real names for like anonymity, you know,
right.
But he called him the Rat Man. But researchers now think that his name was Ernest Lanzer, and he had what we would now call OCD, and his obsessive thoughts had to do with rats and bad things happening to his father and his friend because of said rats. Ugh. He thought that he had these obsessive thoughts because he had heard of a Chinese form of rat torture where instead of a metal cage, they use clay pot, and instead of the stomach, they place the pot upon the anus. But the methodology was the same. So like, and it, so this idea right here is not only was it happening in Europe and South America, but it's apparently happening in China, according to Ratman, or did happen in China.
Okay, so Ratman didn't do it. He was just obsessed with the idea of it.
He was obsessed with it happening to him and his family, basically, and his friends.
Oh, so he was like scared of it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, big time.
Okay.
He was irrationally afraid of it.
I see. Of just some good old rat butt play, huh?
Yeah, and so you know what's funny is I know it's different because he's not eating through the stomach, but they'll eat through your they'll go up your butt because there's fire behind them. And it reminded me of that episode of South Park with Lemmy Wings, you know?
I don't think I saw that.
Oh, never mind. Some people out there will get it, but it's like this teacher, you know how like there's like that negative stereotype about how gay people put like gerbils up their butts and stuff?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It was that. Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Actually, the only reason I know about that stereotype is because Eminem.
Oh, was that a song? Was that in a song?
Yeah, one of his songs they talked about like putting, like, it was like, put a something, just whatever it is, put it up my ass, even if it's a gerbil or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a big negative stereotype. And Richard Gere, the actor, actually was accused of that because.
Yikes.
Anyway.
I think the best way to think about it is most rational, actual people don't like putting living things inside of them.
Right. But also most rational people understand that a lot of the time you're not going to be in a position where that'll happen to you.
Yeah, no, totally. And it's Yeah. So it's a stereotype. It's defamation. It's something somebody made up to make a certain group look worse.
Exactly. I mean, it sounds like it tickles a little bit, but then how do you, and it probably feels good to a certain extent, but then how do you get the gerbil out is my question. That's why I'm too afraid to try it.
Yeah, exactly. You can't just like tie him to like a little gerbil rope or something.
Yeah, just yank him out when I'm done. Yeah, I can't do it. Like, he'll tug the rope when he's done. Yeah.
Three times. After he's finished boxing your prostate.
Yeah, it's just go, okay, go in there, treat it like a speed bag. Just get in there and just hit it. Yeah, dude.
Fucking talented hamster. Gerbil, whatever.
It's just animal cruelty.
Yeah, it is animal cruelty. Again, not a very, you know, we got to leave the animals out of it.
Yeah. So our next torture method is called Ling Chi, but most of you out there might know it as death by a thousand cuts.
Fuck.
And it's exactly what it sounds like. All right. So this is a fairly straightforward method of torture and execution. The person who was the victim, essentially, was tied to a wooden pole. And then the person doing the dirty work would cut them over and over and over and over again, just deep enough to be really fucking painful, but not cut arteries and in non-lethal areas of the body.
Damn, this is like some like samurai shit where it's like you really got to know your blade in order to pull this one off.
Yeah, dude, I've spent years studying the blade.
Well, you went to the gym for vanity. I studied the blade. I love that meme. It's really funny.
Now, in some cases, the number of cuts before the execution would be 100. And in other cases, they could be up to 3,000 cuts. On average, the amount of cuts was somewhere in the middle, probably ranging between 1,000 to 1,500 cuts, which is still a fucking lot.
Yeah. And also, too, I'm here thinking like, oh, like anime, like slice, 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 slice. Like, nah, it's probably real fucking slow.
Real slow because they want to make sure that they don't go too deep, you know? Yep. So probably slow, probably over several days. And yeah.
Need the precision because if you want to do this right, you know, you really got to take your time, which sucks for you if you're the one getting it.
Exactly.
Ouch. So, and that's like, yeah, it's, I just thought about it as like paper cuts, but like, you know, kind of deep.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Just really deep paper cuts thousands of times over your body in places that won't kill you, even though you're hoping that they'll just kill you.
Yeah. Fuck. So that, and that means too, like, you know, they could be chopping at your dick a bit. They could be probably not the armpit though, because that's where like, there's some pretty big arteries in there, right?
Yeah, on your left armpit, there's an artery that goes straight to your heart. You don't want to hit that. Your thighs, you can't do your thighs. Well, you can't do some of your thighs, like the inside. But everywhere else, I mean, almost everywhere else is fairly free game. You want to stay away from the wrist, but you could do upper arm. You could do forearms. You could do shins. Shins.
Like in between your fingers and your toes.
Your urethra.
Oh, God. Ah. Oh, God. I hate when you bring that up, and you always do.
I know. I'm sorry. It's like the paper cut in your urethra, but like a knife, you know? Now, once whoever was in charge of the torture execution session thought that the person had been tortured enough, the final cut to either their throat or their heart would be executed, in turn killing the victim. So that is when heat relief came to them.
Yeah, how shitty that when death becomes is like the best part of it.
Ugh, Jesus, man.
Fuck.
So the name Ling Chi implies that this was a primarily Chinese form of torture and execution, being used from around 900 AD until it was finally banned in 1905.
Oh, thank God. Only just shy of 100 years ago.
Yeah, man. So gotta love it. Gotta love what's it called? Ling Chi.
Yeah. Fuck. Oh, actually, no, it was 117 years ago, 116 years ago. So, okay, that's long enough to be like, okay, we're far done, but still.
But they're not above eating bats, you know, so. That was rude.
Yeah, way to go. Way to clean up your act, just like you said you were right before the episode.
I was like, you know what, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm not going to be, I'm not going to make fun of the other countries anymore. And then I just dropped that bomb on them.
What's the phrase? Turning over a new leaf, but it's a new leaf from the same tree.
I had to, man. It was just, it's low hanging fruit, you know?
Sometimes you got to do it. And in an episode like this, we need to get, squeeze as much humor out of it as we can.
Okay, so the methods that we just covered were the more in-depth ones for the most part, right? We got a little bit of historical like origin with them. But this next section will be a lightning round of many other torture methods used just based solely on the method itself, where we don't have a whole lot of information on them.
Yeah, nothing fancy. We'll just tell you what we think and go to the next one.
Exactly. Now, first up is neck torture, okay? This was done by placing a collar around a person's neck, and this collar had massive metal spikes pointing inward toward the neck. Oh. Okay.
So not a cool fashion accessory.
Nah. See, like if the spikes were outward, then you would just look like you're going to a goth club, right?
Right.
But they weren't. So like basically it was obviously very extremely painful, and it made it so that the person being tortured was unable to put their head down. They couldn't sleep. They could hardly chew. Because the spikes were so close to their necks, and any of these activities would make it so the spikes would cut into and be inserted into their necks.
Fuck. So you can get out of it without getting poked, but you gotta like just not do anything and eat and drink super carefully, because yeah, especially when you swallow, like that swells up a little bit. So, So not fun. Pretty bad.
Pretty damn bad. The next one is called the tub. Now, this one is similar to, in theory, to scaphism, all right? Basically, the victim was placed in a wooden barrel and had a... I spelled hole wrong. I used the wrong hole in the outline. And had a hole in the top for their head to stick out of, but that's it. Everything else was in the barrel. Now, they were force-fed and made to sit in their own feces and urine as it accumulated in the barrel over time.
Yeek. Okay.
Then, like a phoenix emerging from ash, maggots and such would emerge from the growing, let's call it mess in the barrel, okay? Eating the person alive over a long period of time. So not only are you sitting in your own shit and piss, but maggots are coming from the shit and piss and eating you and burrowing inside of you and reproducing inside of you as you sit in that barrel.
And this one, they're actively keeping you alive too.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
And not only, you know, and not only is that similar to scaphism, but they would also cover their head in honey, which would, of course, invite more insects to come and feed on their face.
Isn't this like a thing in like a lot of like old cartoons, you know, they'd be in like the barrel and just their heads poking out. But like that, it was like funny cartoon. Haha. But like little do we know, they're actually dying in their pot in a bucket full of their own humans. Gross.
Exactly. See, we can laugh at all we want when we're kids, but when we know the reality behind it, we can laugh even more.
Yeah.
Now we come to the next torture method, the heretic's fork. All right. This one you might have heard of before, or at least seen pictures of it.
Yeah. Definitely sounds metal.
It is. It does sound pretty metal, man. Now, this one is similar to the neck torture method, but basically a very sharp, double-edged two-pronged fork would be secured with a leather collar to where one end of the fork was directly under the victim's chin, under their jaw, and the other end of the fork's prongs were placed like right above their sternum and upper chest. Okay. Oof. And this basically made it so that, and they were also hung from the ceiling upside down, and they were obviously unable to move or put their head down in order to gain more comfort in their upside down situation. Because if they did, the sharp points of the fork would burrow into their lower jaw and sternum respectively. And the more that they moved around, the more it would cut in deeper into their two areas of their body.
Shit.
That's pretty awesome.
That's brutal. And I never really got confirmation on this, but could you die just from being hung upside down for too long? Is that a thing that happens?
That's a good question, man. I am not sure. Yeah, I know that you can pass out. I don't know if you could die.
It is possible to die from hanging upside down for too long. It is rare, but blood can pool to the head, which can be extremely dangerous for the body. Okay. So it's not super likely to happen, but you'd have to be hanging upside down for like a really long time. But so it's not something that will like reliably kill you, but it can't.
That sucks. That would be a shitty way to go, is just hang upside down until you die. That sucks.
Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, also, too, it's like, because you're probably, the only way for it to work is you'd have to be up there for days. And I don't know about you, but I don't think they're feeding you if they're hanging you upside down. So you'll probably die of starvation before that.
So this next one, it's not necessarily, it's still torturous, but it's not what you, like, it's not torture in the sense that we're used to at this point. It's more of a humiliation thing as far as execution goes. So it's called coffin torture. Now, despite the name, there's no coffins involved. It's actually something that you guys have probably seen in like movies and video games and stuff. It's somebody in a metal cage, a small metal cage, being hung up in a city somewhere. You know, you've seen them in like medieval movies and like different games and stuff. So they're just suspended in these metal cages in a town or a city, and they're left there to die of dehydration and starvation in front of all the townspeople. And eventually when they die, the birds will start eating their corpse, and they'd leave them in there until there's just like a skeleton. So
shit, that sounds very pirate.
Very pirate indeed.
Yeah. Oh, that still sucks. I mean, like, if I had to pick a way to out of any of these, I'd probably pick this one, because at least it's like, you know, starving to death, I hear, is extremely fucking painful. Like, especially towards the end, I hear it's like agony. But like, it's, this one's more of a humiliation one, though, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause this one, they make it a point to do it in front of the townspeople and hang you up there.
That sucks. Cause yeah, there, and I've noticed, yeah, a lot of these don't really give you much of a quick death.
No, no. That's where the torture comes in.
Yep. Hence the name. So fuck that. I think this is definitely the easiest version of being tortured, but it still, you know, doesn't say a lot.
Yeah. 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 The next one, it just sounds terrible. Okay. It's called the lead sprinkler. Huh. So basically I want you guys to imagine like a mace, like a medieval mace, like the weapon, but without the spikes in the ball part at the end. And they just have the holes where the spikes would be. Okay. And then the ball at the end of the handle is hollow, and would be filled with molten lead or boiling water.
Oh.
And then what they would do is they would either hang it over somebody or swing it at them like this, so the molten comes out and just like spats them all over their body and stuff. That's another form of torture.
So they're not even hitting them with the mace. They're just using it to splat. That's so fucked up.
Yeah, dude. That's brutal.
Yeah, because they got hit with the mace, it might knock them out or kill them, so they don't want that.
Nope, they want to just get molten lead flung on them like the fucking Jackson Pollock in the Middle Ages, you know?
This is just feels like the cousin of just being boiled to death, where they would just get a thing of hot oil and just throw you in it.
Ugh. Yeah, but at least with boiled to death, you could eat the person after, because they're essentially deep fried, right?
Essentially, yeah. But also, they're also not cleaned up, you know? So they got all that shit and piss and gross stuff. And let's just say, even if you wanted to, it probably wouldn't be a good idea.
Fair. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I will stop looking at people as human tempura.
Just, I'm just looking out for you, man.
Now, this next one is called saw torture. Okay. I don't want to say it's my favorite, because that's a weird thing to say in this episode, but it's definitely pretty brutal. And right. It's pretty cool. Oh, it's not cool either. You guys will see. You'll see. So it was a form of torture, but it did have an end goal, as you see, being death. Okay. Now, what would happen is the victim would be suspended upside down with their legs secured fairly far apart enough, maybe just over shoulder width. Mm-hmm. They would be left there. You know where this is going, right?
I think I remember what this is. Yep.
Okay. So they would be left there long enough for most of their blood to go to their heads. Okay. And now the reasoning behind this is because they wanted them to be able to stay alive during the process, which we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
So after they've been suspended long enough and most of their blood is in their head, they would take two men would come out with a large double ended saw. Okay. And each guy would take a handle of the saw, put it above the person's gooch. Okay. And then begin sawing them in half. Okay. Unilaterally, just like right down the middle. And now because the blood was it, a lot of their blood is in the head or heading towards the head, they wouldn't bleed out right away. meaning that they're alive for at least a portion of the sawing of their own selves in half.
See, this is the kind of ingenuity that's not appreciated.
Yeah.
That's so, like, it's like they really went out of their way to make this as bad as possible and found out a method, a way to hack biology to actually make your life worse, or the last minute of it.
Yep. They wanted you to be as conscious as possible. That way, yeah. And if you guys want to see like a really interesting visual representation of this, it's, look, I know that I watch horror movies all year long, but for some of you out there, you might be just tuning into horror movies for October. Watch Terrifier. It's on almost any streaming platform you can find. It's a fantastic horror movie with Art the Clown as the main antagonist, but he does this to a lady.
Cool.
And the effects were pretty good. Not that I was into it. I'm just saying that if you guys want like a visual representation of what this is, that's it.
Yeah. Well, and also too, do we go into over being drawn and quartered?
I didn't put it in here because that one's strictly for execution.
Yeah, that's right. You die for sure after that.
But that one's just like, let's tear this dude apart, but that's still awesome.
We're just going to kill you really fucking painfully. But that's like with a lot of those like old, like medieval or like, you know, period pieces that are like, you know, take place in those times, kings and queens. And I remember, I forget what show or wherever it was from, but like they recreated that shit like pretty hard. Like that one where they just like get a wheel and they just like cut open your stomach and attach your like intestine and just start wheeling it out of your body.
Ooh.
Damn. Yeah, they did a pretty good job of, yeah, like recreating that for TV. And like, yeah, it made me feel sick. It was pretty gross. Props to the actor, though. He did a really good job to make it look like he was being actively killed.
That's crazy, dude. Oh, I watched just one horror movie where they basically did a draw and quarter on somebody, but with cars. What movie was it? I don't remember. If I think of it, I'll do it on the next episode. But that was brutal. Yeah, it was brutal.
Good stuff.
Good stuff, guys. Horror movies is so cathartic.
What a great season.
Anyway, so
sawed in
that's
half.
It. That's it for being sawed in half. I mean, they were just they were attempted to be kept conscious long enough for them to at least feel some of it, and they did. Yep. Which sounds fucking horrifying.
And I mean, yeah, pretty straightforward. It's just, yep, they wanted them to feel it, and boy, they sure did. And then. Yeah, you're pretty much dead. I wonder if they ever like actually like stopped before they died and just like just massacred their fucking genitals and then just called it a day.
Oh, that's a good question. I hope not. I would want them to just fucking finish sodomy in half, man. Because
just get it over at this point. Yeah, so it's not a very effective torture method in that most people, I'm sure, are just like, I'd rather just have this kill me. But yeah, you know, it's a good one.
Ugh, jeez. Okay, we're coming down, I believe, to the last. No, we have a few more. We're almost done. Almost done. Okay. Now we come to one that just really doesn't sound good. Okay, now this is reminiscent of the Judas Cradle.
Oh, no.
Kind of. Maybe, I don't know which one's more brutal. You guys decide. Now this one is called the Spanish Donkey, not to be confused with the Tijuana Donkey Show, all right? Because even though they are getting split, there's two completely different meanings of split in this case, okay?
Oh, geez.
Because at a Tijuana Donkey Show, ladies getting split by a donkey. And this one, well, you'll see.
Oh, now, I get it. You're gross. Yeah, it took me a second to get what you were saying.
I was leaning on it until you got it.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Okay, now, in this torture method, a person would be stripped naked, of course, and made to sit on this tall wooden board, which was shaped like a pointed wedge, okay? And they had to straddle the sharp edge of this board. So it was like, basically just like a triangular prism.
Like a Toblerone.
Like a Toblerone, exactly. It's shaped like a Toblerone. And they have to sit on one of the sharp edges, okay? That's what they're sitting on top of. But it's tall enough to where their legs are just dangling down in the air, okay? On each side. Okay. Now, since their feet were dangling due to the weight of the board, of the board, weights would be tied to their legs and feet, starting light, but over interrogation and torture, becoming heavier and heavier over time. Now, you guys could probably see where this is going. As time went on, at a certain point, the weights would not only dislocate their legs from their hips, but it would also cause the wedge of wood to start cutting through their bodies, crotch upward.
So this is like a hybrid of the Judas one and the pressing.
Right.
A little bit of both, but pretty awful. Yeah, especially the dislocating part.
Yeah, man, I'm not a big, like, I have issues with dislocations, like mentally, because it's happened to me so many times with my shoulder. And I just, when I think of that kind of stuff, I get like grossed out, you know?
Right.
I have flashbacks.
Reasonably. Yeah. Reasonably so.
So this kind of stuff really freaks me out. And, yeah. You know, because the last time I dislocated my shoulder, it was so bad that my shoulder ball was like in my upper chest.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not fun, bro.
Oh yeah, they had to like inject you with like billion strength painkiller just to like get you into the ambulance, right?
Dude, I was so embarrassed. I was in such pain I couldn't move. Like yeah. I couldn't get up because it happened and I was on my stomach and I fell on my stomach and I couldn't roll over. It was bad, dude. So I'm so triggered right now. Let's move on.
See, I got triggered and now you got to be triggered too. So now we're one for one.
Okay. But mine's based in reality, asshole. Mine came from somewhere and I'm dying. I'm so grossed out right now. Okay. Yep. Moving on. I like that. That's the first thing that grossed me out was dislocations. This whole episode has just been like, oh, cool, cool, cool. And then we start talking about dislocations and I start getting all antsy in my pantsy.
Hey, man, we all got weaknesses.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. We're all different.
True, true.
Now, the next one is called either the thumb screw or Pillywinks. Okay.
Oh, I don't know what this is, but I don't like where it's going.
Right, but they have cute names, you know?
That's exactly. The cuter the name, the more brutal it is. That's just like metal 101.
That's like baby metal. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, yes, they have cute names, but it sucked, right? Because basically it was a device that acted like a clamp. It was essentially a clamp. And it had a handle. And when the handle turned, it would slowly push down a metal plate, crushing anything in between the metal plate and the base of the device, right? Just like a metal clamp.
Yeah, just like a vise or something.
Like a vise, right. Now, as you can imagine, fingers, hands, toes, small appendages of the sort, maybe wieners, I don't know, crushed very slowly using this method. However, larger versions of the device were created specifically to slowly, and I mean slowly, crush a person's skull.
I've seen this
while they're alive.
Yeah, I've seen this before on a documentary where it's like, yeah, just wedge your head in and they just start turning the crank. And eventually it'll just hit a point where just shit starts breaking and stuff. And it's horrifying. They said like blood start like pouring out of their eyeballs and stuff and like shells start leaking out of their nose and mouth. Like it's a fucking like scarring way to go.
Ugh, so disgusting, dude.
Yeah, that's it's unpleasant. And it's like, and it's crazy though too, because back then like executions and like shit like that were like a lot of time public events and people fucking dug it to like watch people just like die. And they said especially, I mean, that's why in like TV shows and stuff and probably in modern days, whenever people are hung, they put bags over their heads, because guess what, when you are hung, your fucking eyes bulge out and shit. It's not a pleasant sight.
Yeah. Yeah. You look like one of those stress dolls, you know, where you squeeze it and all the fucking things pop out.
Yeah. Yikes.
All right. So we're almost done, right? We're on the second to last one now, called the Brazen Bull, also known as the Sicilian Bull, because it was used in Italy in ancient times.
Another classic. This is one that most of us have probably heard of, I think.
Yeah, and it's it sucks. Like, this one is just like, yo, that's extra. This is extra, extra, you know? So it was a giant brass bull statue, which was hollow, okay? Now, it was just hollow enough to fit a full-grown adult into it very uncomfortably. So if you have claustrophobia, this might be one of the things that is not great for you. But it doesn't stop at claustrophobia, okay? Because once you're tied up and put in there, a big fire is lit underneath this metal bowl. Okay. Now, essentially what it's doing is it's cooking the victim, but it's not cooking the victim in a way that like you would be burnt at a funeral pyre or like at the stake, because you're in contact with fire then, which is arguably a better way to go. This way, it's like you're in a giant convection oven. Okay. Because you're not touching the fire, but the heat's around you, and you're basically being roasted to death and tortured that way.
Yeah, and there comes a point, you know, where your skin can melt, and that's probably not a great transitional period for whoever is going through it.
Yeah, and even if they take you out of it, if the torture's over and they decide not to execute you, I mean, your skin's melted, you're going to get infections, you probably have infections on your lungs from the heat, being certain parts of your organs being cooked, you know?
Yeah, that could do it.
And one of the weirdest parts of this whole thing is that the mouth of the bowl was usually, so like it was hollow inside, and the cavity would usually lead out to the mouth of the bowl being open. And they did this because the screams of the victim inside were said to be echoed and amplified by the brass and would come out of the bull's mouth, and you could hear them screaming for like miles.
Fuck. I did not know that part. Damn, using the acoustics and everything.
Ugh, so brutal, dude.
Oof, that's gotta be so like scary.
Okay, last one. And I saved the best for last because it scares me the most. Okay. Because you'll see why. Finally, this is probably the most infamous torture device ever created. It has been seen in pop culture countless times. We are, of course, talking about the rack.
Oh, that's, yeah. Every cartoon representation of torture is basically, they use the rack as like the symbol for it, basically.
Yes, but they don't, you know what, man, I'm glad they don't, because then there'd be a bunch of kids out there with dislocation phobias, because that's all this is, all right? So. Yeah. Ugh. All right. So the victim would be placed on a big wooden table like thing, and their arms and legs would be tied to opposite rolling racks, one above their head, one below their feet. Now, each of these rollers had hand cranks on them. Okay. Now, like you guys have seen in the movies and like the cartoons, as these cranks turn, it pulls whatever is tied to it in the opposite or in that direction. Okay. So it pulls their arms further up, and it pulls their legs further down.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, the rack was used to dislocate every joint and break and pull every bone apart as possible in the human body during torture. Right.
Think of it how it is like when you're trying to get the the thighs and the wings off the chicken, it's rotisserie cooked. And now imagine that, but just happening to you.
Yeah. And you're not cooked and dead. You're just sitting there laying down on a piece of wood, and they're just saying, like, let's pull this guy's thigh out of his hip, you know?
Yeah. On the bright side. Ugh. Yeah, I know. I know. But on the bright side, at least this is one where it doesn't necessarily have to be taken to completion. Because, I mean, if you just give in, then, yeah, they'll unhook you, hopefully. And hopefully. You don't have to go through it. Yeah,
that's the thing. You're right. You're right. This one, there is a breaking point, right? Because it's done very slowly and it's very uncomfortable and it hurts. But there is a breaking point of dislocation. Ugh. Anyway, yeah. So that, I mean, they could give up all the info. I would fucking do it 100%. Yo, before they even tie me on that, they'd be like, yo, we're going to put you in the rack. I'm like, nope, I will admit to anything you want right now. Yep. that's it. But also the rack, if used for execution, would go far beyond dislocation at that point and just rip their limbs completely off their fucking bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is like we're talking about that one thing where sometimes they would have two horses and they would just tie one arm to each of the horses and just have them go in opposite directions. And that point, yeah, it just rips them out.
Well, happy October.
Yeah, we're feeling good. We're having fun. Everyone's nice and cozy. We all are glad we didn't eat lunch right before this, right?
I mean, I was fine up until I forgot that I put dislocation shit in here. I totally forgot because I was drunk last night, you know? So I was groovy up until this point, and now I'm just like, I'm having flashbacks and...
Bro, yeah.
Do you know how much morphine they had to put in me in order for me to just get into the fucking ambulance, let alone for them? Because I don't know if anybody out there has dislocated their shoulder, but the way that they'd like to do it nowadays to put it back in is they pump you full of drugs. This is if you're a pussy, right? Because I'm not putting my own shoulder back in. You can't pay me enough money to do that. I don't have time for that, right? We live right. in 2021. We have modern technology. This is what I do. I go to the ER in an ambulance. It's only been bad enough once where I went in an ambulance, okay? They pump me full of morphine. Then they pump me full of more shit. I don't know what it was at that point because I was high as a kite when I was in the room. Then what they do is they make you lay on your stomach. And as painful as it is, even with morphine, they make you try and put your arm over the edge of the bed, right? And then they grab your arm and pull it out and slowly move it forward until it just fucking pops back in. And it makes this weird, like, wet noise when it pops back in. And it was the worst, dude. I've done it 3 times. It's the fucking worst.
Yeah, the other day I like almost kind of like overextended my shoulder, and Nick's told me this story before, so I know kind of like what it's about. So whenever there's like any sort of like excess pressure on my shoulder, I like immediately like recoil and like just try to just never get close to that ever.
Our shoulders are very, very weak joints. They're strong if you're pushing up, but any deviation backwards your shoulder's not built for that, and it will pop out. So be very, very fucking careful. That's if you could take anything away from today's episode, be careful with your shoulders. For God's sake, don't go through what I went through 3 times. I got surgery to fix mine because I was like done with it. Because as more dislocations happen, your ligaments become looser, causing it to happen more. That's what was happening to me. So I got surgery to fix it. It's been great since, but I still never take it for granted. I always am very careful. You have to be careful with your joints, man.
Yeah, totally. And well, I mean, yeah, my mom had surgery on her shoulder. And one of the big things they kept saying is like, dude, this is worse than hip surgery. Like, this is worse than knee surgery. Like, the shoulder is widely considered to be one of the worst places to have surgery because the recovery is so slow and it just affects everything you do because you can't use your arm at all if your shoulder gets fucked up.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's no joke. So yeah, if anything, learn anything from today's episode, if it's shoulder day, you know what, man, what do you have to prove? Like, man, you know, when we all get older, all that pride shit doesn't matter anyway. So
yeah,
easy on the shoulders.
And you're not going to get bowling ball shoulders unless you're on Trent anyway. So who gives a shit? Don't go hard on shoulder day. It's fine.
Yeah, dude, show off at the bench or show off on like leg day if you're into that kind of thing. But shoulders, you know, if there's one you had to pick to kind of like dial it back a bit, you'll thank yourself later.
Yeah, absolutely. So learn from me, guys. Don't have PTSD from shoulder injuries. I'm just kidding. I don't have PTSD, but it's pretty close because I do, when I think about it, I do have little like physiological responses. Like when we started talking about it, I started sweating a little bit. I was like, I was like, oh dude. Cause I think about it, especially that last one. And I start to freak out a little bit, but I'm like, no, it's over. I got my surgery. I'm good.
Yeah.
And I'm smart now. I'm smart about my lifts. So brutal. Our bodies are weird, fragile things.
That they are, but yeah, you know, good subject though. It's good to know. We had to be, got to be cognizant and aware of this, you know?
Yeah. So I can't talk. I'm flustered. I'm right. This is a good place to end the episode, but we hope that you guys had a good time.
Yeah. Hopefully it was a good way. I mean, it's October. So, you know, this kind of shit is to be expected. If you can't make it through this episode, then like, you know, can you really call yourself a horror fan?
Yeah. And honestly, this is probably the worst thing that we've ever done. As far as like bodily injuries go, and probably the worst thing we'll do for quite some time. So it wasn't even that bad. Like I left out, like I didn't go into full detail. I gave you guys, you know, it was fun. It was like, come on.
Yeah. Well, we have a pretty decent amount of content here. I mean, definitely after cutting it up, you know, it probably won't be 2 hours, but we're, you know, gotta fill it because after 2 hours, it's kind of the zone out mark. Cause now you're hitting like, oh wait, this podcast is about as long as Lord of the Rings. Like, yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, and I refuse to be compared to Lord of the Rings.
I know. You feel very strongly about that movie.
I do. Negatively.
Yes. Good distinction.
Oh, hey, but speaking of Count Chocula, I got a box of Count Chocula.
Did you?
Yes.
Have you tried it?
No, I'm actually not going to eat it. I'm checking to see if there's tracking devices in the cereal. So I'm not eating any of it. Trust me, dude. I'm not going to support him that way. But I'm checking to see if there's like contraband.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's going to be a big, big job, because you have to go through like grain by grain in the cereal, because he's a crafty fellow, you know. He might, especially if there's a toy inside, you know.
And there's marshmallows in it. So I have to like open up the marshmallows, look inside there to make sure nothing was planted inside the marshmallow during the molding process. It's a whole pain in the ass, but I'm doing it for our safety.
Yeah. And plus it's good to know, to kind of like, it's like getting the enemy landmine and deactivating it and pulling it apart to see, you know, what makes it tick.
Yeah. So if something goes off, just know that I'm a martyr, I'm a hero, and I died for a cause.
Exactly. That this was all for, you know, bringing down the ultimate evil. And, you know, you did your part.
That's right. That's right. You know what? I'm kind of a big deal. I'm kind of a good guy.
Just a regular modern hero. Well, thank you all for listening. I hope this was a very stomach turningly fun experience for you. If you're listening on iTunes, if you could 5-star rate and review, that would be fantastic. If you follow us on Spotify, click the follow button and you can get updated when we post new episodes every single Wednesday. Instagram is at CEOTPK. Our YouTube is Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind. Check out our Twitter at CEOTPK1, our TikTok, CEOTPK. Facebook is Close Encounters of the Podcast Kind. You can email us at CEOTPK1@gmail.com. Our Discord is discord.gg/lowercase b, 6T, 5M, X. If that seems daunting to type in, don't worry. We feel the same way. That's why all these links are on our Facebook page. If you want to donate to us, we have Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/CEOTPK. All donations are appreciated. They go to our hosting and stuff. And if you donate and you want us to like say something on the show, we will be more than happy to do so.
That's right. But remember, no manifestos.
Nope. None of that. We, if it's, or curses too, that could be dangerous for us.
I'll read a curse.
Oh, you can do that then.
And I'll especially read it if it's in Latin. Just a tip for you guys out there.
Oh, Jesus. That's always a great sign, right?
Always. But look, thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate the donations that you guys give us, but we always, more than anything, appreciate the fact that you tune into us every week for a new episode. And get ready for more spooky season episodes in the next couple weeks here. We're pretty hyped. We're looking to do another listener story episode on the whatever episode lies closest to Halloween. So if you haven't yet, please email us or give us your stories on our Discord, whatever you can. If you're more than willing to have us read it, we'll do it for you.
Yep. Great way to get a free little platform if you have a good story. And yeah, and even if you just want to tell us just something for fun, we're more than happy to hear it.
Yeah, even if it's a fake story, how am I going to know the difference? I don't know you.
We're not going to question it. We're just going to, oh, fuck, man.
This guy suffered a lot, man.
Righteous.
All right, guys. But look, whether you think that ancient torture methods are worse than what we were doing at Guantanamo or not, the truth is out there.
Yeah, it's just bad. And maybe we just shouldn't do it. Maybe. I don't know. It's not. Oh, sorry. I stammered the fuck out of
this. Like Porky Pig, dude.
Oh, man.